Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, filling in today for Lori Walsh. He was part historian and part artist. Fred Farrar chronicled the Black Hills from the turn of the century through the 1930s as one of few pioneer photographers. He worked with glass plate negatives out of a mobile darkroom, capturing the transformation of the American West. The Fred Farrar collection includes more than 2,500 glass plates, negatives, and photographs. Mark Slocum is the director of the Minnelusa Historical Association and Pioneer Collection at the Journey Museum in Rapid City, and he joins us now for a closer look at this collection. Mark, thank you for joining us on In the Moment today.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
So this Fred Farrar is a really interesting character who experienced a really formative time in history. To start off, maybe give our listeners some of the highlights of who Fred was.
Yeah, Fred, like many early settlers in the Black Hills area, emigrated to the Black Hills from Cherokee, Iowa, with his parents, John Joshua Farrar and Mary Elizabeth Hunt Potts, when he was only 2 years old in 1887. And when arriving in Rapid City, you know, Rapid was just a growing town with boardwalks and dirt streets, often mud, but it was really a smaller town than your Deadwood and Leeds, with considered cities with brick-paved streets. So he really got to experience the growth of Rapid City mainly and the Black Hills as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easy, I think, to remember people from the past, or especially this period of time, as very stoic, serious people. And a lot of that is because of the photographs we see are very serious, straight-faced images. But that's not really the case in this collection. Tell us a little bit about some of what we see in the photographs that Fred takes.
Okay, yeah, you see a little bit of everything. Fred wasn't like some of the other pioneer photographers of the day. If anyone's familiar with William J. Collins, he was a early pioneer photographer of Rapid City, but a lot of his work was done out of a studio. Fred's studio was everywhere outside. He took portraits of people, you know, during events, in Lakota camps, in street scenes, outdoor recreational activities. He kind of did it all. The whole Black Hills was his studio.
Mm-hmm. And Fred himself sounds like kind of a fun character. You talk a bit in the blog post about how he and some of his college friends were known as kind of pranksters.
Yeah, they were. His best friends, Dick Mansfield and Sam Price, who both of them actually went on to become historians of the Black Hills and wrote a few books themselves, they were known for their pranks. A few of those included falsely claiming they had found a gold mine, which wasn't actually that rare in those days. But they also, at their time at the School of Mines, spread a story that they discovered a new substance lighter than air called atmospherium, which even some of the professors at the school started to believe. I don't know exactly how that one came out, but they were known for their pranks and their adventures. There was a incident that even occurred in several local newspapers, as well as Carl Eady's book, Golden Days in the Black Hills, involving the three during a 1905 blizzard, during a cold South Dakota winter that we're all familiar with. And the incident occurred when the Mansfield residents had frozen pipes from the main line to the resident's house. So the boys came up with, you know, they thought they were engineers and decided to come up with a system to rig up a boiler to try and force steam into the pipes, hoping that they would thaw, which after several hours, they were putting steam into the pipes and nothing was working. So what I think happened was some steam backed up into the boiler and got too hot, and suddenly it exploded. Hmm. Luckily, most of the gentlemen working on the operation were fine, but Fred, who was the lead engineer in the operation, was thrown 15 feet in the air. Oh. He suffered from terrible scalding burns, and the the device they had used, that boiler, was reported to fly 400 feet through a neighbor's outshed, is what the journal reported. A couple of the other newspapers had slightly different figures, but you never know with some of those old yarns. Fred did recover, though, from the incident with scarring, but, you know, they made history in Rapid City themselves, Fred not only being a chronicler through his photographs, but actually living it, too.
Wow. So how do you piece together a picture, pardon the pun, of Fred's life? Are these through beyond the newspaper articles? Did he leave journals? Are you speaking with family members? How do we know what we know about Fred Farrar?
So a little bit of history on the collection. After Fred passed away at the age of 90 in 1975, one of his six children, his youngest daughter, Mary Farrar, preserved the collection for many years. And she had put together a few exhibits in the Chadron area, because that's where she had grown up during the later part of Fred's life. Some of his images actually appeared in Dave Strain's book, Black Hills Hay Camp, which Dave was able to get some history from Mary at the time, I believe, so I've been able to find some information that way. But when the collection was brought to Minnelusa by Fred's granddaughter, Dee Dee Farrar, she inherited it after Mary passed away in 2015, and it was in about 15 different boxes, not really organized in any way. And as we started to digitize the photographs, the glass plate negatives, we've come across letters that were written to and from Fred, a short little biography of his life written by his wife, newspaper articles that came out, and things like that. Luckily, I had a copy of Carl Leedy's book in the collection, so I wondered, you know, why is this part of this collection? And that story about the boiler incident was in there. So it's just about piecing things together, really.
Mm-hmm. And photography really is an art form, and it can be easy, I think, now with smartphone capabilities even to take that art for granted. Not nearly as easy to do that back in the early 1900s. Can you maybe describe just a little bit for our listeners what that process was like of just taking pictures at the turn of the century?
Well, not being a photographer myself, I only understand it a little bit. But, mm-hmm. You know, it would require a dark room, and you take one shot at a time with a glass plate negative. And often you'd be surprised by some of the shots he was able to take. He would a lot of times do self-portraits of him jumping over, like, rivers or over other objects, I think just to practice his timing. And, you know, he really captured some great moments, and I think that's the most difficult part of that. You know, our iPhones now can take a shot that takes 15 pictures in 1 second, and you pick out the one you like. But it was a real art form and science what they used back in the day to produce such great images.
Mm-hmm. And I know this collection, this expansive collection, I think it's really exciting. I see it's going to be made available for people to view online later this year on the Minnelusa.org website. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of digitizing this collection and making that available to people online?
Yeah, so digitizing the collection took us close to a year, scanning each individual negative, cataloging, and putting everything into our collection software, Path Perfect. We're right now doing a massive merge of all of our collections to put Past Perfect online on our website, so that any individual that's just curious or would like to find a photo for a book or doing some family history project can go online and start to get a feel for what the collection has to offer, and then reach out to us, and I'm always here to help with more research or helping finding images that you might not have. Mm-hmm. But it is quite a process.
Yeah. Is there anything about this collection that really stands out to you, or maybe even that surprised you as you were working through all of these 2,500 photos and negatives and things like that. What is there anything that really sticks out to you?
Well, one thing is making this post, there's I think about 14 images.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself was quite a task to pick out 14 images that I think really do a good job of giving a little sample of the collection. But, you know, the things I like to see the most are some of the events that that happened here in Rapid City. He also took photos of events in Belle Fourche as well as Sturgis. But some of those circuses and parades and fairs that he photographed images of are just incredible to see how lively Rapid City was, you know, back in 1905. Quite a bit of the collection he had taken photos from this event called Stockman's Days. And that was when the South Dakota Stock Growers Association would put on this large event. It was a little bit like the stock show today, but this incredible spectacle of an event that really brought all the ranchers, the local community members, different Native Americans from the reservation, and everyone would come together in Rapid City and have these events. They would have races, including, you know, potato races for kids. One of the images here on the post is a Lakota women's wheelbarrow race, a horse race on Stockman's Days. So it was a way that the community could participate, but also see a spectacle and come together all together. And I see that today in Rapid City as well, and mm-hmm. in the Black Hills, of all of these events that are always happening, and, you know, things that are happening both here at the Journey Museum, where the community's coming together, as well as downtown Rapid City and all of those events as well.